Welcome to another episode of the Smiles Ahead podcast, powered by Burrow Weschel Cold Orthodontics. We have a great episode today, community style, with Cameron from Hop Fly Brewery right down the street. So I appreciate you,
joining us today. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Well, with the community style, we like, it's just about getting to know the people around us, getting to know everybody in the Charlotte and the greater area. So I just let you talk a little bit about yourself, how you got started, what Hop Fly is all about, and we'll go from there.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief, but I grew up in North Carolina, grew up in Chapel Hill, went to Duke University, moved up to Columbus, Ohio for about 6 years after college, started homebrewing, and at that point realized the corporate world wasn't quite for me, so kind of combined. I was working in corporate retail at the time, took that background and my passion for homebrewing and decided I was going to start a brewery, so moved back to Eastern North Carolina. We started Hop Fly in a little town called Rocky Mount, about an hour east of Raleigh. Started in a little 750 square foot space, one man show, yours truly doing everything. Nice. And just grew as quickly as we could out there in Eastern North Carolina. We started looking for places to expand. Growing up in the Triangle, going to school in the Triangle, always thought we'd end up maybe in Durham or Raleigh. But, honestly, the first time we came down to Charlotte, it was kind of like, oh, this is, if we want to put on our big boy pants, this is the market. Just from a growth standpoint for the brand, getting the staff that we want, getting the location that we want, and, frankly, being up against what I would consider to be the best market in the state for craft beer.
Yeah.
We wanted to kind of play in the best and the biggest sandbox. So I guess about 2.5 years ago, we actually acquired a brewery here that was ready to move on out of the beer world. So we were able to come in and get their space and do a huge revamp. And as you now know, we're just, neighbors a couple blocks down and been rocking and rolling for about 2 years here and loving every bit of the ride.
That's it. So I know you started 750 square feet, just you.
Yeah.
And, taking that from a concept to a realization is what a lot of people can't really comprehend if you hadn't really done it, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be a lot of steps in between there. I'm not asking you all those, but what was the moment where you were like, oh, this is probably going to happen where, we can get the Charlotte goat. How many square feet do y'all have?
We've got 25,000.
25,000. I can't even do the math on that. But, going from that and then just, having the confidence to go from your one-man brewery to jumping to that.
We've always kind of just pushed the upper edge of, what was possible. And, fact that we convinced some people to loan us enough money to make this happen.
Yeah.
Coming out of a, very small operation is kind of shocking. But we've kind of just pushed the top end of the envelope, and I think, at the end of the day, we've always, from day one, we've always gotten very good feedback on our brand, on our product, and at the end of the day, I've had a tremendous amount of belief in our brand, product, and kind of most importantly, team. Because, I become way less important by the day.
Right.
But we have a fantastic team, I think a very strong brand and a strong product, and, have never wavered on the confidence for what that meant to get to this step, I'm not saying we'll be the next year in Nevada, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, there's some humbleness, but as far as obviously wanting to take the step to here, we've always believed we could do it. We've hopefully kind of proven that and, just keep grinding.
I hear you, man. Yeah. So, with being in, are you still in Rocky Mountain or y'all?
Yes. We still have a tavern out there.
Okay.
We don't make any more product. And it was actually, kind of cool. Basically, our whole team out there moved down here to Charlotte.
Oh, nice.
And everyone got their choice, and we would have figured out how to keep that facility fully operational if people wanted to stay. And honestly, almost to a person, everyone was like, oh, you're going to Charlotte? 25,000 square foot to 2 blocks from the stadium? We're coming with you.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. So really, most of the team came down. So we still have a tap room there. We still have a great team there, but still have a tap room there. We have a distribution facility that services, we actually still service back to the Triangle, and then we service Eastern North Carolina, basically Outer Banks down in the Crystal Coast. Nice. We do all of our own self-distribution, so we still have, trucks, distro, all that stuff out there. But, and Rocky Mountain's always, I love that tap room, I love that space, I love our fans out there. It's always, in a sense, going to be our, obviously our birthplace and our home. But, unlike most, you see, a lot of other breweries in town who started elsewhere and they just pop up satellite tap rooms. Obviously, we're a little unique because for all intents and purposes, we relocated our headquarters here.
Right.
Core team, everybody is now based in Charlotte.
Yeah. Now, so I always like to ask this on founders and people that started it. There had to be a real big passion for beer before. When did you when did you start brewing it? How did you start?
Yeah.
How'd you get into it, man?
It was like right after, college, and I realized I was signing away, you know, 50 or 60 hours a week to the man, my corporate job. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I need something that I'm going to love doing as a hobby.
Yeah.
As a side project. And I've always had more of a mind for engineering and tinkering with stuff and playing with things. And mm-hmm. I've become a better cook, but never was much of a cook before this. But,
yeah.
You know, and obviously I love drinking beer. So,
yeah.
Like, it was kind of a funny thing. And
is anybody in the family? Was there, like, a kit given to you at Christmas?
Yeah, literally. Okay. Yeah, my folks actually gave me one of those, like, Mr. Beer
okay.
kits, which was funny. But then, yeah, I kind of looked at that and I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And then I looked it up and I was like, I think if I'm going to do this, I want to go a little harder.
Yeah.
So I ended up returning that and kind of taking the next step up off the jump because I was like, well, if I'm going to do this.
Oh, that's cool.
Got to do it. Let's do it right. And then it's a very slippery slope. I mean, it starts on the kitchen stove and the beer generally sucks. And then before I knew it, it's my garage and my spare bedroom and, So the whole operation started to overtake my little town.
I was going to say, I know nothing about the process, so you know it always amazes me that people can start where you started and
yeah.
craft something that now everybody in town drinks and
yeah.
whole state and wherever. So you know that's got to be a proud moment for you.
We have one beer that was born on that homebrew system that still exists.
It still exists. Okay.
Everything else has basically been scraps.
So. Now, but I wanted to ask too, what's the hardest beer? Type of beer, I guess, if you would call it. Is there one that's harder to brew than the others, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Or get right.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people would say lagers.
And
okay. I would go with lager, and it's primarily, lagers are generally the cleanest beers.
Yeah.
They have this idea, you know, there's this idea that, hey, lager beer is like that cheap beer that
right,
you
right.
drink on the beach, which it is that, but it's also that, like, incredibly refined Czech Pilsner where like the water profile has to be absolutely perfect and the malt bill has to be absolutely perfect and you gotta, you know, all your temps during, you know, the mash have to be perfect. Like there's a lot more subtlety and a lot less margin for error if you're trying to craft a really high quality lager. And you know, I could say the same about anything we make, but it's different. Some of our hazy IPAs, it's like we're bombing them out with like 8 pounds per barrel of hops. Like
right.
We screw a little thing up, it's likely to get overtaken, maybe overshadowed by some of the other stuff.
Change the whole
but
thing, yeah.
You know, with a lager, you don't. There's nothing to hide behind.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll go that's lager.
Cool. Lager.
Lager.
So with y'all's tap room, tell me a little bit about that. If people want to come down there,
and
hop fly and drink, y'all got a big space.
Yeah.
Have some food trucks down there. Anything that people can expect like
For sure. I mean, I guess you know. Big space. Like I said, whole facility is 25,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Front of house is like 7,500, 8,000. Okay. Big outdoor area. We're open Tuesday through Sunday. You know, we do some pretty killer activations for anything going on at B of A, whether that's CLTFC or the Panthers, Kenny Chesney, Morgan Wallen, whoever's coming to town.
Yeah.
We're always bumping for those big events. But outside of that, I mean, we keep the calendar pretty packed. So it's, you know, we've got dance classes, we've got run clubs, we've got a cycling team, we've got trivia. We're constantly doing kind of cool events and trying to bring in the community, engage the community, give people a home base.
Yeah.
We've got a permanent food truck, Katsu Cart, so they're out there Wednesday through Sunday.
Cool.
So again, Japanese Sandos and other you know, good food. So we're always rocking, you know, and you know, outside of the social side, we've got a whole kind of business model is based off of very frequent new releases of beer. So every week we're going to have two or three or four new beers coming out, which honestly kind of irks some people because they come in and they're like, hey, I had this beer last week and it's already gone. And we're like, well, sorry, you should have
come back around. Yeah,
more. I might come back next year.
Yeah.
But we always have fresh stuff. And that's, you know, we do Fresh Hop Fridays. We have, like I said, 2, 3, 4 new beers coming out. And that's, you know, for us, you know, we have to balance. We have this incredible focus on quality and we want great product and we're coming out with new stuff every week to satiate that customer. But you know, as well as I, being in this neighborhood, you also need to find a way to try to appeal to just, hey, people just want to come out and drink some beer. And they may not care about the subtleties that we put into this Czech pills that we're releasing Friday. They just want to come in and drink some crunch time. So, you know, we try to strike that balance and give everyone a little bit of something to, you know, to bite onto. Great rooftop patio, great private event space. And yeah, we're just, you know, we've got a uniquely large space for this part of town. And we just do what we can to keep it activated.
Yeah. That's what I found appealing about you just being neighbors with you, just looking at that. We walk past it all the time and, just also y'all in the community getting people down there, different events, like you said, Run Club, that's kind of unique for a brewery, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. We talk about this all the time. How, I mean, there's obviously so many breweries out there, and we're buddies with everyone. But, you know, for the first time ever, craft beer is starting to face some headwinds, and we're not growing by, the industry's not growing by 10% every year. So, you know, there's this old school brewery toolbox of like Trivia, Run Club,
whatever. Right,
right. So we still do all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's 40 brewery run clubs in the city.
Yeah.
Ours is great, but
you know,
there's probably one close to your house. And that's where, you know, that's what's fun for us, right? I mean,
right.
We try very hard on our liquid product, but like we have a hospitality product that, you know, we bang away at every day
to
do the same thing. Think about how we can better engage the community, how we can offer a better experience and, you know, keep people coming in the door.
That's right. Now, I do have to ask, are dogs allowed?
Yeah.
As you can see, I got for those that can't see it on video, I got my Labradoodle running right around here, our feet, and a big picture behind him.
We're very dog friendly, and you know we don't have an official kitchen. We've got this food truck.
Right.
Sometimes in Charlotte, you see, you know, you get into these permitting issues.
That's right.
Dogs,
that's right.
It's a restaurant, so we're not a restaurant. Very, very, very furry friendly.
Yeah.
So bring them in.
Good.
They're always in, and you know. Love dogs.
Awesome.
I bring my two in all the time.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So if you're bringing them in, then we can bring them. There you go. Perfect. Yeah, we get the biggest beer question we get asked, you know, obviously when people are starting Invisalign, not necessarily braces because they can drink anything, but our adult patients that are starting Invisalign are always asking, you know, they don't want to quite ask me right off the bat, like, hey, can I drink with this? What can you do? I'm like, you want to know if you can drink beer or wine with your Invisalign in? And we're like, I mean, you can, but you're going to have beer, you know, just seeping in there, and it's going to be sitting in there. It's going to look pretty nasty. So we're always like, yeah, you should probably just pop that out before you go in the brewery. So if you see any of my patients in there and they're popping out their Invisalign, that's probably because I told them to do so. But that's the biggest thing we get. And, you know, we just love having y'all down here as neighbors. I know y'all do a lot for the community, host a lot. I'm definitely going to hit one of the big events when we have a Panthers game or concert or something. I mean, y'all have the ideal spot for that, man. That's going to be it's got to be rocking.
We have a good time for those, for sure.
We're good. Well, I won't keep you too much longer. I know y'all are busy. Go make some of those new flavors, we'll see you soon.
Yeah,
thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, man. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Smiles Ahead podcast powered by Burrow, Welchel, and Culp Orthodontics. Be sure to leave a rating, hit that subscribe button, and if you have more questions, you can reach out to me directly at sam@bwcortho.com. That's sam@bwcortho.com. You can also visit our website, bwcortho.com, and we will be happy to answer any questions you might have.